Today's episode is brought to you by Lufthansa. Time flies comfortably when you're enjoying every minute, every detail, and every little indulgence on your flight. Lufthansa. Nonstop you.
Is 20,000 close at hand? We have a look at what to watch with the market since the rate hike just ahead.
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm Jennifer Strong in New York. The Dow backed away from 20,000 after the Fed raised interest rates, but the blue chip index is still up 8%. That's more than 1,400 points since Election Day. For some perspective on what to watch with the market, I'm joined now by Jim McDonald. He's the chief investment strategist at Northern Trust. Jim, the Fed's rate hike was widely expected, and yet the reactions have been swift, especially in the bonds market.
Yes, I think that while there was an expectation that the Fed would raise rates, they were mildly more hawkish than the market expected about the path of rates in 2017. So the Fed said that they expected to raise rates three times next year. The market had been expecting two. So there's been a little bit of an adjustment around interest rate expectations. But investors clearly know that we are in a new environment today where the Fed is now leaning towards raising rates, where really over the last several years, they've been biased against it.
Something else that responded right away is the dollar. I believe it's hit at least a 14-year high.
Yeah, the dollar has been particularly strong because of the increase in interest rates, but also because of the fact that the U.S. economy has been showing greater momentum than either the European or Asian economies. Dollar strength sometimes can be a problem, but right now it's a reflection of the strength of the U.S. economy.
As the Dow flirts with 20,000, how sustainable do you think this is?
Short-term predictions are always challenging, but we do think over the next year the markets are likely to keep advancing. We do think that there will be some benefit from policy change from the new administration and Congress. But in the background, the global economy has been improving since May, and we've received better reports out of the industrial sector of late. So we do expect the stock market to keep advancing over the next year.
The financial sector continues to lead the Dow, with Goldman Sachs the biggest contributor since Election Day. Do you have any thoughts there?
We've been and remain overweight financial stocks. They are the prime beneficiary of the higher interest rate picture. Some people attribute the improved performance to expectations of regulatory relief. We think that's a minor part of the buying power behind financials. They're really a play on higher interest rates, and they're also a play on an increase in economic activity. So the fact that the financials are rallying and help push the market higher is a good thing.
What are the other sectors or stocks you've got your eye on right now?
So we think anything tied to cyclical recovery are going to benefit in this environment. So looking at names in the material space, looking at the energy sector, looking at industrial stocks, all of them will benefit from an improved pace of economic expansion. And it's been interesting since the election, a lot of the renewed hope around the market has been just that, hope that there will be improved support from the government, whether it's lower regulations or focus on infrastructure spending. But we've seen since the election a leap in confidence indexes, both out of the consumer side and out of the business side. So we think that increased business confidence is something that is going to particularly help the more cyclically oriented sectors. And then you have to fund overweights from somewhere. So while we'd be more favorable to those cyclical sectors, we'd want to fund it out of the sectors that are more defensive and tied to interest rates. So that would be utilities, it would be telecom, and also the classic defensive sector consumer staples.
Do you have any thoughts on GDP or growth going forward and what we expect to see there?
Sure. So I think the real takeaway from this potential improvement in the growth environment is we're going from an economy in the U.S. that we would have told you was in a channel of 1.5 to 2, but the concern was downside risk. I think we're now in an environment where the growth channel has gone up to 2 to 2.5, but the upside is the potential we're not worried about, as opposed to downside. The other aspect that is more directly important to the stock market is corporate earnings. So we have an expectation of earnings growth in 2017 of 9%. Because of the improved economy, also the potential for some tax relief at the corporate side. So better growth will help, but we're also going to have a nice benefit in 2017 from an improvement in the corporate earnings outlook.
Mm-hmm. In terms of growth, do you have any thoughts or concerns about business investment?
Well, business investment really has been tepid. And it has not been a major part of what has driven the economy so far. So in some respects, there's really only upside because it's been so muted. I do think we're seeing a potential benefit from the jump in corporate confidence. And then we also will have a contributor through the very likely repatriation of overseas cash. Something like $2 trillion is stuck overseas because of the very high tax rate if corporations were to bring that back. I think it's likely that there will be some kind of a deal done, like there was in 2004, to allow companies to bring back this cash at a favorable tax rate. And that can be used for a couple of things. It can be used for capital expenditures by companies. It can be used to pay down debt. And if 2004's episode was any indication, there will be a jump in share buybacks, and that would also be good for the stock market.
We're talking about the market and really the economy overall with Jim McDonald, and you're listening to Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Today's episode is brought to you by OnePlus, maker of the new OnePlus 3T smartphone, the next generation of the year's best-reviewed phone. Featuring industry-leading processor speeds, 16-megapixel front and rear-facing camera, up to 128 gigabytes of storage, and a premium all-metal build. Plus, the OnePlus 3T has Dash Charge, an exclusive technology that sets a new benchmark in charging speeds. A quick half-hour charge will give you a full day's worth of battery life. Make it yours without a carrier contract at OnePlus.net.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Jim, are you watching crude as it starts to respond to the strong dollar? And if so, what do you see happening with it in 2017?
Well, crude has been mostly moving tied to expectations of supply cuts. So the strong dollar historically would have led to a softening in crude prices, but we really haven't seen that this time around, primarily because OPEC and some important non-OPEC producers have focused on trying to stabilize prices by cutting supply. I think that the higher level of crude that we've seen, we've got WTI at 50 and Brent around $53 in trading today, will start to bring some further U.S. supplies on. So I wouldn't expect Brent or WTI to take off over the next 12 months, but it's really a reflection of the hoped-for constraint in supply as opposed to a reaction primarily to what's going on in the currency markets.
Speaking of currency markets, anything other than the dollar you're watching?
Well, the key is what happens with the euro and the yen in this environment. The depreciation of the yen is clearly good for the Japanese economy and for exporters. And the euro could benefit growth in the European Union, which has held up measurably better than I think the investment community had been expecting. So currencies are a zero-sum game. If the dollar's strong, the currencies that are trading against it in result will be weaker, and that will help growth in those important regions such as Europe and in Japan.
Anything else you're watching for either this week or as we go into the new year?
Well, our number one risk case to this constructive story that I've given you this morning is an unexpected uptick in inflation. So the outlook for the Fed and for interest rates, which very importantly underpin the outlook for the stock market, is based on an expectation that we're not going to see a jump in the outlook for inflation. And we received a steady report this morning on prices here in the U.S. With the core inflation rate hanging in just at 2.1%, in line with the prior report and actually a tenth of a percent lower than estimates. So that's somewhat reassuring that we're not starting to see an acceleration in inflation. But that's our number one risk case. And what we want to do in portfolios is have some exposure to assets that will do better in an inflationary environment. And at the top of the list are commodities. So we are overweight natural resource stocks as a hedge for this risk of an uptick in inflation.
That's Jim McDonald. He's the Chief Investment Strategist at Northern Trust. Thank you so much for your time.
Happy to do it.
And thank you for listening to Your Money Matters. From the newsroom in New York, I'm Jennifer Strong.
Love tech? Dig gadgets? Then make Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal a part of your day. WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.